Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we read this passage, I want you to zero in on a word that's found in the middle of verse 2, the word transformed. Be transformed. You are aware that the language that Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church was not English, but it was Greek. All of our English translations are translations of that. This particular word, even though I'm going to say it to you in Greek, is a word that you know. The word that's translated, transformed, is metamorphomai. Does that sound familiar? We get our English word metamorphosis from, of changing from one thing into another. God wants us to take us through a process of transforming us, changing us. Now, there's all sorts of solutions that people offer about how we can change our lives. If you will just do this, you can change your life. If you will just learn to take better care of yourself, and if you will buy a membership in our gym and take our supplements and just chisel your body down to whatever the template of perfection is today, it will change your life. Well, that might be a good thing to do, but I'm not sure it's going to greatly alter your life, and it certainly will not alter your eternity. The salesman would tell you, if you buy our product, it will change your life. And many of us have the receipts over a long period of time to prove, well, that didn't exactly change my life. Changed my bank account a little bit, but it didn't change my life. If you drive our car, this particular automobile, it will change your life. How's that work? No, that's a good. There's all sorts of things. But God is willing to use the word, and it's right here in our text. Be transformed. This is real. So this morning we're going to talk about the process, which you see in the next two verses, or next two words, I should say. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those four words is what we're going to talk about. A renewed mind. That's how it works. But as we get to that, I want to assure you, in spite of all the things we hear about, this is going to transform, it's going to change you, this one will. So I just want to bring up this idea just to kind of begin our thoughts this morning. If you'll go ahead and bring that up the next slide. God wants to transform you. Yeah, for real, totally. I don't say that just to be cute. I really want to capture your heart and your imagination this morning. This is not just another sales pitch. This is just not another pep talk. This is not just another motivational speaker telling you how we can all feel better about ourselves. This is the Word of God. And yes, it is a real transformation. It is total transformation that he wants to make. Now, I also want to tell you this before we get into just going through the text in order this morning. Oftentimes, as we study the Bible, we like putting things in categories and little slots and breaking it all apart. I do as well. I like to analyze that way. And we understand that there's some things in the Bible that are just God's work, what he does. And when we talk about the process of transforming, there's certain things that are God's work. And then there's things that he speaks to us. This is particularly actually in verse 1 and in verse 2. He gives us commands. In other words, you are to do these things. These are to be things that you and I are active in. So there you have our efforts, if you want to say it that way. I would prefer the word cooperation. And if I could just kind of bathe all of our thinking with this umbrella. You know, sometimes we want to think about what God does. We want to think about what our part is, our cooperation is. But the work of God and the transformation takes place in that mysterious region of not the either or, but the both and. And I don't understand how it works, but I do know this. There's some things that God will do, but he does call us to participate, to cooperate through our efforts in that. So I just say that as sort of introductory. But we are going to look at both components, but I don't want you to take them as totally divorced from each other. But first of all, God's work. God's work in all of this. He says, I beseech you, verse 1. Now, beseech is a very strong word. It's not used frequently. It means I'm asking you with all of the passion I can bring to bear. I beg you, I plead with you. This is not just, oh, here's a suggestion, I hope you'll take it. No, he says, this is critical. This is mission critical. I hope you will just take this to heart and you will do it. I beseech you, therefore. That's a word we would be tempted to look over, but you have to understand that that always connects you back to what has preceded the text you're looking at. And it does do a little bit of injustice just to drop into chapter 12 and look at two verses. Because you understand if you're looking at chapter 12, 11 chapters have preceded it, which is all part of the same work. I don't have time to give you much background on the first 11 chapters of Romans, but if I could give you a very generalized summary, it would be this. He's proclaiming the gospel and defending the gospel and defining the gospel. He starts out by proving that we're lost and that the solution is Christ and that God is faithful to keep his promises both to Israel and to us as New Testament believers. And based upon all of the reality of the gospel, therefore I beseech you to do this. So he comes at it with a great amount of weightiness and passion and urging. And then he uses this one. And this is the first part of God's work. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is God's work? Well, first of all, he is merciful. Mercy simply means this, defined, God withholding something that we justly deserve. And just to save some time, and not to try to be sensationalistic, but to be very accurate, when you want to, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is God's mercy from you. He has saved you from spending every moment of all eternity in the flames of hell. That's his mercy. Need I say more? Now, God's mercy flows into this life, and we experience his mercy daily. Jeremiah, the prophet of old, says, his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But ultimately, extended to eternity, we have the mercy of God. Based on the abundance of God's mercy, that's God's work. That's what he has done. In accordance with his choice and his character and his passion and his love that was just so eloquently sung about just a moment ago, that Jesus loves me. That being the case, on the mercies of God, based on God's work, he encourages this. And the second part is this appeal that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God's work is all bound up in his mercifulness, and he deserves our, I'm going to use this terminology, self-sacrifice. And I know that's probably the most accurate way to say that, but it's the only way I know to say that. Our offering our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not we in any way take the place of Christ's sacrifice, but he says there in the text, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament economy, this was shocking because every sacrifice was dead or was soon to be dead. It was a dead sacrifice. It was an animal that had lost its life. But he says, we present our bodies as a continual sacrifice to God. Now notice he says bodies, not life. He didn't say, bring your life and present that as a living sacrifice. He doesn't say, bring your talents, bring your abilities, bring your body. Now, why does he say that? Well, in their culture, the body was seen a particular way, and you and I can understand it this way. All that you are is contained within your body. All of your physicality is in one little compact package. All of your thoughts, your mind, your memories, all that you are, all that you aspire to be, all of your ambitions, all of your imaginations, everything that you are is in that one compact, individualized unit called your body. And he says, what I want you to do, based on the mercies of God, that you, we don't do this physically, but we do this as a step of faith, that we bring our sum total of the package of us, and we say, God, here, take this. It's yours. All of it's yours. There's not too much that we're called upon to do that we would say is holy. There are several things that are mentioned in Scripture. But he said, this is a holy thing. This is a sacred thing. This is a God-connected thing. He also says this. It's acceptable to God. God accepts this. This is within the sphere of what God desires and God welcomes. You and I ought to be all in with what God welcomes and what God desires. It's holy. It's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And service there has the idea of worshipful service, service to God. This is an act of worship. Lord, why would you want me to bring all that I am and just say, here it is? Because he deserves everything that we could give him. And the sum total of all that we can give him is all that we are. Here it is, God. You just take it. Take it. And do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's talk about our cooperation. That's really going to be the bulk of what I want to share with you. How? And remember, I said it's not in the either or the or. It's in the mysterious region of the both and of what God does through his mercy and how we intersect with that by our activities. And first of all, and I'm going to give you just four today, four little statements to help us hopefully take a little step to put this into practice in our lives. But number one, become available. And that's speaking of humility and submission. And that goes back to that living sacrifice of verse 1. That we just say, Lord, I'm going to allow and I want to welcome you to do what you want to do in me. There is one thing that is always guaranteed to gum up the works of God's work of transformation. Because God will respond, and he promises that he will respond in a particular way if we do this. And it's the opposite of the word humility and the opposite of submission. If we will not bow ourselves to God's will, and if we will not humbly come before him, but instead we insert our human pride into the mix, it's going to mess up the workings of this process of renewal, which comes from a transformed mind. So if verse 1 is not the reality of our hearts, the living sacrifice, the transformed life by the renewing of the mind is not going to take place in the time and at the pace that God would desire to take place in our lives, and we will deal with that as we will in the circumstances of our lives. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Conformed is an interesting one. It literally means to take the shape of an external factor. It could be seen this way, to take something that is pliable and put it into a mold, and if it is pressed into the mold, the material you're pressing will take the shape of the mold. We could maybe say it this way, just to help our understanding. It says, do not be shoved into the world's mold. Do not take the form of the world. Do not let it press you into its way of thinking and doing and being and speaking and acting and aspiring. He says, don't be conformed to this world. And we believers, sometimes we're shocked with all the sin that's in the world and all the sinning that goes on in the world. Frankly, people that don't know the Lord, that's all they can do is sin because they're shoved into that mold. Sometimes we believers probably should be shocked that there's not more sinning in the world. Because that's what sinful people do. But if you want to be different, you want to be what God intends people to be, the starting point to not be conformed to this world is to coming and submitting yourself to Jesus Christ and to realize that he sacrificed himself on the cross. And through his payment for sin in that sacrifice, and our accepting that we understand that's for us. And through this, through a transaction of faith that God has brought to bear, we come to this place where we are given this new life. And then he begins this process of changing us and making us into what we want to be. Now, we as believers, it is very easy. I can sum it all up in one word. If you want to be conformed to this world, you want to look like the world, you want to be pressed into its mold, here's the only thing you have to do. Nothing. If you just do nothing to be growing spiritually and involving yourselves in the things of the Lord, some of the things we're about to talk about, the natural process is going to be you are pliable. And without the right influences, you're going to be pressed right back into the mold of the world, thinking like the world, acting like the world, speaking like the world, desiring like the world, until there's absolutely, at least practically, before a world looking for a testimony for what Christianity, what Christ is all about, there's going to be no distinction. So we need to be transformed. Secondly, we could say, we want to just say it this way, that we need to wash our minds. Wash your mind. Now, someone's going to go home and say, what did Pastor preach on? He preached on brainwashing this morning. And so our minds gets corroded with the stuff of the world. It needs to be washed. Well, how does that take place? Well, confession and forsaking. And by the way, those two are intimately connected. When we catch ourselves thinking like we should not think, when the Spirit of God taps and says, no, don't be going there. Don't be zipping off into some bitterness. Don't be seeking some vengeance in the privacy of your own mind. Don't entertain that lustful thought. Don't go after that greedy thing. Don't go after that thing that you covet that you've got to have. Whatever it is, when that is discovered, we should even in the, not just, sometimes we want to confess the things that everybody knows about, but the things that no one else knows about, even in the privacy of our mind, we need to confess it to God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and listen to this phrase, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, just flush out the system. We need to be disciplined and sensitive to the Spirit of God. Then when we catch our mind going somewhere it ought not be, to stop right then and confess it. And inherit in confessing it is forsaking it. And just to learn that discipline of regular just washing our minds. Now, I know you say, well, but you can't get everything out of your mind. Well, I understand that. And I don't mean to get, too far into where I'm going, but there's been a lot of talking about, wiping off computers and deleting stuff off of hard drives, okay? Now, I don't want my whole hard drive wiped out. But there's a few things, I wish I could just find a few sectors of memory. There's a few memories that I just wish I could get deleted for good. I wish that were the case. And, we talk about it, you can't unsee it, you can't unthink it. Well, that is true. I think when God is done with us, this whole process of transformation, when we're with the Lord, I think there's going to be some major file deletions from our memory banks. I hope so, and I believe so. But what can we do if it was there? Well, one thing you can do, and there's no delete button to push it, to forget that. You can make choices not to dwell on things and appeal to God to help you. But just to get it out of your mind, not totally. But what you can do is flood your mind with different material, and that's number three. Add the correct content. To renew, through the renewal of your mind. Now, the word renewal, I told you about the word transformed a moment ago. The word renewing of your mind, is the Greek word there is only used one other place in Scripture. And it's a verse that I referenced last week. It's found in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration. The Spirit of God regenerates us, gives us new life. You want a regenerated, remade mind? Well, we have to put into it, insert into it, the correct content. And you see on the screen what I'm suggesting. We need to flood our minds constantly with the Word of God. Thank you for starting your week, coming this morning to spend time in God's Word. Yes, we've enjoyed singing, we've enjoyed worshiping, we've enjoyed those that have made their faith public through baptism. All that is grand. But now it's time just to intake the Word of God, to flood it with that which hopefully is going to make the memories and the thoughts that don't need to be there at least grow a little dim, because they're replaced with the vivid truth of God's holy Word. And God fortunately has spoken to us through His Word. And he's delivered his truth to us, and we need to spend our time in it. We talked earlier in our service about the opportunity for this Bible study that our life groups are going on. And even if you're not in a life group, I encourage you to jump in and be part of this, because it's another opportunity to immerse yourself in God's Word. We need to learn and practice the daily discipline of being in God's Word. Now, what you see right there, Bible study and prayer, this is not the first time I've mentioned this, I don't think, in almost 5 years of being the guy in the pulpit preaching. I think I've probably mentioned this before. I know I've mentioned this before, and often, because it's essential. But I don't want you just to say, oh, yeah, Bible study, prayer, got it. I would just encourage you to make sure that you are flooding your mind with God's truth. It is necessary to have a renewed mind, which is God's process for transforming us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to think differently. We need to be reprogrammed from the inside out. And then prayer. With prayer, that's how we connect back to God. That's how he speaks to us through the Word of God, and we communicate back to Him in prayer, that we just make this just a constant connection back to God. Some of you were at our last Married People's Experience. And if you saw the video, if you were there, if not, I'll give you a quick rehearsal. But the speaker mentioned statistics about marriages that fail and different criteria. And I've seen this elsewhere as well. But he mentioned, he said, there's one thing that married couples can do above anything else that statistically will give you the best chance to stay together and stay healthy in your marriage. And it's simply this. He said, couples should pray together daily out loud. Pray out loud with each other daily. And people who practice that as a daily practice for couples, it's almost an infinitesimal percentage point of those marriages that fail compared to every other category. Why? Well, God wants us to connect with Him. It's also hard to really be mad at somebody when you're praying to God, because it has a way of humbling you, as a way of just renewing your mind, among other things. To refocus, oh, there is a God, and I'm responsible to Him, and it's not all about me, and I have a role that He's given me to play in this marriage or life or whatever, and to put it into place. It will change you just to connect it. It will renew your mind. There's a story I've heard. I doubt that. I think it's fictional, but the story goes like this. There was a lady that she just prayed about everything, and she had a custom of going out on her front porch early in the morning and just praying out loud. If it was a rainy day, she'd say, thank you, Lord, for the rain to water the roses. And so if it was a sunny day, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. And she had a neighbor who was, next door neighbor, who was an atheist, and he just couldn't stand this every day. He just was sick and tired of this religious nut living beside, just praising and praying about everything. And one day he thought he had her, because she goes out on the porch and said, Lord, you know, the money's short, and I've spent all that I had in my last paycheck, and I have no groceries in the house. And Lord, I'm just asking you to supply what I need for food for my day. So the atheist goes to the grocery store, buys a bunch of groceries, puts it on her porch secretly in the night, and waits till the next morning. She comes out. Thank you, Lord, for providing my needs. And he yells across and says, God didn't have anything to do with it. I bought those groceries. To which she lifts up her eyes and says, thank you, Lord, for providing my needs and making the devil pay for it. That's a connection to God. I said that might be a fictional story, but just everything, take it to Him, talk to Him. He deserves it, the mercies of God. I beseech you, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God and prayer. Lastly, continue this discipline. When it talks about the renewing, it is a present tense continual reality. This is always the case. This is not, oh, renew my mind today, that's good, I'm good for the next year. No, it's a constant daily moving. When Julie and I were freshly married and our kids were very small, the place we lived at the time, the church, we lived about 50 feet from the church building, something like that, out behind the church. And there was a creek behind where we lived. And as the kids got older, they would go out there and play in it, and they'd catch the critters that were in the creek and all that. But in the summer, oftentimes it would happen, it would get dry and the creek would go down, and right behind our house there was a pool, and the water would stop flowing, but you just had this pool of water. That was not time you wanted to take your shoes and socks off and go wading in the creek. It got nasty and stagnant and stinky, and it just was, ah. And then you get some rain, and it would fill back up and start flowing again and flush all that out and get, ah, this is good, this is good. We need a constant flood of God's work of the Spirit just flooding into us constantly and constantly. If not, we're going to grow stagnant and stale in our thinking. The renewing of the mind process is going to slow. And the transformation process that God is taking us through will not be as it could be if we just have the continual discipline of having a renewed mind. And part of this is the work of the Spirit. And because transformational change that people who tell us how that can take place is from the outside in. But here's the way God changes us. When we trust Christ as Savior, God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit gets inside of us, indwells us. We call that the indwelling of the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit. He indwells us, and He is available to just continue the process of moving around the furniture in the home of our heart, to pitching out the things that need to go, of steering us, of directing us. How does that work? That is in that mysterious region of the both and. Yes, we make choices. We put the Word of God in. We pray. We do these things. But also He is transforming and renewing our minds because the Spirit is within there. And there's a bit of a, we're going to talk about this in our Bible study, in our message tonight a little bit. But there's a verse in Galatians 5:17 that tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. There is an active, constant dependency upon the Spirit of God who indwells us, that we live with a conscious awareness that there's something going on in me that we can detect and that we trust in, and we again take us back to where we began, that humility and submission and confession and forsaking and Bible study and prayer. And He allows us, Him to fill us. Fill us, just another word for control. Let Him just take the reins and steer us as we are. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then He has this little summary statement at the end. That you may prove, make visible, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes we, is this God's will? Is this God's will? This is always God's will. That we let Him transform us by a renewed mind as we present ourselves as the living sacrifice. This has God approval stamped on it. This is the will of God. It is acceptable to Him. It's what He appeals to us to do. Now we're in one of two places, all of us in one of two places this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you're shoved into the world's mold and only Christ is going to get you out of it. And if we could share with you how you can be saved, if you need to talk to someone that can share the gospel with you, just at the end of the service, let me or someone know. We'll do that. Or maybe you know you should and you know what it's all about, and for some reason you just haven't stepped across that faith. You can do that. You can do that in the privacy of your heart right this moment. And if you have and if you do, you need to make that public. And I would just let one of us know. We would rejoice with you and try to help you keep moving in the direction you need to come. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's your category, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Cooperate with the transformation. Cooperate with the transformation. God will do what He does. It's our responsibility to enter into that process and do what we should do. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Maybe it's prayer, maybe it's Bible study, maybe it's time to have a good time of confession and forsaking. Maybe He needs to deal with us on humility or submission, or maybe it's just active dependency on the Word of God. As an act of worship, do what God calls us to do. Would you join me in prayer?
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.